How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organize 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organize 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining me on the Organize 365 podcast.
Well, it is my pleasure. I'm so excited to get to talk to you today.
We have so much to uncover, but first I want to know, how did you originally find Organize 365?
So I was first discovering podcasts, the joy of podcasts, yes. And I'd actually heard about them a couple of years before I ever explored them. And I'm an elementary school music teacher, and I went to a training about it. And one of the trainers said, "Oh, Jennifer, you should start a podcast." And I was like, had no concept of how this could be a thing and why anybody would ever want to listen to me. But anyway, when I finally discovered the joy of podcasts, I was looking to get organized, and I just typed in organize and I found you.
So do you have a podcast?
I do not have a podcast. This is my first podcast ever.
Okay. All right. I'm like, how did I not know this? Okay. You don't have one.
I do not have one.
We're going to say yet.
Yet.
Yet. Okay. They're very addicting. They're super easy to do.
For sure.
So tell me about all the people that live in your house with you.
So now it is just my husband of 21 years and I, and our German Shepherd, who's about 80 pounds, and our Yorkie Maltese, who's about 6 pounds.
Congratulations. So selfishly, you say now it is, which means there must have other people in that house.
Oh yes. Over the years, there have been many other people. So when my husband and I got married, he had 2 children.
Okay.
So he's 10 years older than me. When we got married, my daughter was 11 and my son was 8.
Okay.
And at first they didn't live with us, but then as each of them hit middle school, they did come to live with us.
Interesting.
And then later on, my daughter had a baby. So we had her and our grandson in the house for a while. And we've also had a couple of non-related people live with us throughout the years. So,
okay. So selfishly, I'm going to camp on this a little bit.
Okay.
The fact that the two of you are there by yourself in the house.
Yes.
Which is like a dream to me right now.
Right. You will love it.
I know. Okay. But here's the thing. So our kids are 18 and 19, and basically Abby lives in the basement. So essentially Joey's usually at college. We have pretty much the house to ourselves.
Right.
What do you do with all of your time, Jennifer?
Oh my gosh.
We're going to need hobbies.
See, I've been hearing you talk about this lately on your, and I have no concept of not knowing what to do with your time.
Okay, good. How do you fill yours?
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm a teacher, so that's right. Because of course there's always a million more things you could do than you have time to do.
Yes.
I'm also a musician, so there's always more music to do. And I'm still not finished organizing my house, so I have that to do, and I help.
Okay, well, your time's coming. So that is interesting that you say that, because I'm an entrepreneur. I know I own Organize 365, and I work a lot of the hours, but I get to pick all the ones I work. It's, you know, the entrepreneurial joke. You know, I choose which 12 hours a day I work.
Right, exactly.
So I could turn it on, I could turn it off. So I think the flexibility makes me feel like I have more time. And truly, I mean, raising our kids and homeschooling and all that has taken all of my extra time. Like, Greg and I don't have hobbies or extracurricular things that we do. I did say to him the other day, I said, I think maybe I'll go back to singing in the choir or do singing again. You know,
oh,
I used to do singing.
You should totally do that. You should totally do that. I look forward to the day when I could do classical music again, because I just miss it. Mm-hmm. It's so great.
I love singing.
Yes,
and anyone who's ever around me, I sing every song. Like, music can be playing in the elevator. I'm singing the words, people. I am singing the words to everything.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's so good for your health, too.
It's really?
Building. Oh yeah, because you're breathing deeply.
Oh.
You are making music with other people, so you're having a synergistic experience with others.
Whoa.
Which is very good for you and the people that you are making music with, as well as the people who are listening.
How fun is that?
That's why live music is so powerful.
And I love music. Like when you get chills, when you hear something or I just love it. I love music, everything about it. All right. Well, we have a shared love in music.
Absolutely.
So now we'll talk about our shared love in organizing.
Okay.
You've always been interested in getting organized. What made you decide when you found the podcast? Why did you search organizing when you were searching podcasts?
Well, I have known since I was a teenager that I needed to be more organized. So this has always been a thing that I wanted to do. I bought my first organizing book, Organizing from the Inside Out.
Me too. That was my first one too. Julie Morgenstern. Oh, we love you, Julie.
Yes. I bought that as a teenager and I remember looking through it. Unfortunately, I'm not a huge reader. So I don't think I actually ever read the entire thing cover to cover. But, you know, whenever Oprah would have a show on organizing, I would do it. I remember feng shuiing my apartment in college after watching an Oprah. And then I started giving myself the reputation that I quote unquote couldn't organize myself out of a paper bag, which is not true because I'm a functional human being and a teacher and all of that. And so actually that's one of the things that I have learned through you is, you know, not to give myself that reputation and that it is a learned skill and I can get there. So I've always been organized enough to function, but not organized enough to feel good about myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I love that. I've never heard anybody explain it that way. On a different interview, I was talking with somebody and I said, you know, I often will say, are you a born organized person or do you feel unorganized, and don't give you a middle ground? And you articulated the middle ground so nicely in that you're organized enough to function, but not organized enough to say, oh yeah, I'm organized.
Right.
To put that label on yourself.
Right. Hmm. Exactly.
Very good. As we are going through these Wednesday podcasts, I'm realizing we need a term for that. We need to define what that is. It'll be more Lisa vocabulary coming out in a future podcast, I'm sure.
I look forward to know how to label myself.
Yes. Okay. I'll give you a full range. So what time of year was it when you decided you were going to dive into this organizing, and what did you do first?
Okay. So honestly, I started before I found you. I was looking for more inspiration. And so I was very addicted to the KonMari method. And that's how I started before I found you. And of course I started, you know, with my clothes because that's how she has you start. And then when I got into your program, it was the kitchen. And I don't know, it was maybe fall. I'm thinking it was the fall when I started my first 100-day program, but you know, I had been working on it a little bit for a couple of years before I found you. And the thing that I liked about the KonMari method, which I've been able to continue using as I've been going through my 100 days, is sparking joy. And I know a lot of people make fun of that, but I'm a very intuitive person. And literally going through my clothes like that helped me unlock my intuition again. And I've been getting more and more and more comfortable with that. And now I can hold something for a second and say yes or no, and, you know, toss it into the Goodwill pile or put it back away.
I would agree with that. Like, I have a couple of things in my closet that I know need to go. And they are a couple of blazers and expensive pieces I bought at White House Black Market about 3 years ago when I started buying retail clothes and not buying them at a resale shop. And I invested and I didn't get them on sale. So like these blazers were like $150 or that dress was $200. And I did not, there is no coupon. Like I paid full price. And I did wear them a couple of times, but you know, my mother's cost per use analysis keeps going through my head. And I'm like, that is still a $70 blazer until I wear it 10 more times. Then it's a $35 blazer. And like, and I'm like, I don't want to wear it one more time, but it was a $150 blazer. And I'm like, I know it's got to go, but I have a hard time getting rid of it because it's, you know, I'm buying more new clothes now. Mostly because we keep doing photo shoots. And it just makes sense where I am in my business now. But for so long, like for 15 years, I didn't buy anything new. And so to get rid of something that I spent so much money on, when that $150 would have covered three trips to the resale shop, would have been maybe all I spent the year before entirely on clothes, to just be like, yep, I'm going to donate that. Like, it's so hard.
Yeah, but you know, blessing it and sending it on its way really helps me because I figure somebody else yeah. out there needs
I've gotta
that.
I've got to do it.
So, yes.
And it's the space that it leaves. Because I will say to Greg, I see 15 pairs of khaki pants in there. And he goes, none of them fit. I'm like, then get rid of them. And he goes, I can't. And I'm doing the same thing. Right. So I have like 4 blazers in there, but 3 of them I don't like anymore. And only 1 I like. And what I realized is sweaters I like for like casual working sweaters. I don't like stiff blazers anymore. It's not my style. I've decided mm-hmm. that my style is like a soft collared jacket. So it looks like a blazer, but it has the feel of a sweater.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And now yeah. I'm like obsessed with finding those. And once I let go of these more formal blazers that I'm not going to wear anymore or don't fit my style, I'm going to open up the space for another one of those cute little jackety ones.
Exactly. It's like Gretchen yeah. Rubin, know yourself better, right?
Yeah.
You've discovered this about yourself and yeah. now you're ready to move forward knowing yeah. what you know.
All right. Bless and release. I'll do it. I'm going to do it. I know I've got to do it. It's just so, I just watched the money going right out the door, right? Oh, and if I could make that choice again, but I can make that choice again because when I was doing that, when I first took it was $600. We went to White House Black Market and I bought $600 jackets and sweaters and I was going to be professional. And this was 2016. This is probably right when you were finding me because I was going to conferences and that money and that investment and those clothes were me saying, I'm no longer being a stay-at-home mom. I'm going to leave my house. I'm going to go to a conference. I'm going to grow Organized 365 beyond me and my bedroom office. That's what those clothes represent. And so donating those or getting rid of those clothes say that I have now moved beyond that stage into a new thing. And that was just so pivotal in my business, those clothes.
They served their purpose.
Yes, yes. So Jennifer's just going to continue to counsel me the rest of this podcast. The other thing I wanted to say is a lot of people mentioned KonMari or Fly Lady. Yeah. There was this amazingly awesome marketer that I met early in my business. And he said, if you are really well positioned and know exactly who you serve in the marketplace, you also know where that person is before they come to you and after they leave you. And so before people come to Organize 365, they usually are reading organizational books, doing Fly Lady, doing Marie Kondo, trying all those kinds of things that are all related to decluttering. And when they come to Organize 365, they then move into the space of organizing and increasing productivity. Yes. And when they leave Organize 365, they tend to go towards either people that only speak about productivity or digital solutions, because I clearly have no digital solutions. So it is interesting to know where people come in and where people go out of the Organize 365 journey. So I just thought I'd mention that. Sometimes people are like, well, actually, you know, I follow this other organizer. I'm like, great. Like we all have different things to offer. And I think that's awesome. So I love that you mentioned how she got you started in this whole journey.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So we should mention that you have done the 100-day program 9 times. I think that we should mention that 9 times. That's a lot of times.
That's a lot of times.
You're like an original.
Yes, I feel honored that I've known you for this long.
Yes. And so I love that you're coming on the podcast because you're still organizing. And so we're going to dive deep into all the way back when you first started with Organize 365, which you've also evolved as the products have evolved. So every time something new comes out, like you're already in the program, which is interesting as well.
Yes.
When is the first time you noticed something was organized that had not been organized before? Like, when did you realize this organizing thing was going to work for you?
So I think that you really just gave me permission to think about my house in a different way, kind of a non-traditional way. So I have a 100-year-old house that is set up very traditionally, and I had a very unfunctional coat closet. Mm. And so you had talked about your drop zone and your mudroom area. And so I took my very formal front hallway. So when you walk in my front door, you see this beautiful grand staircase. And then the front hallway goes straight to the kitchen in the back.
Yes.
And I went to IKEA and I got shelves that they were intended to be CD holders to go straight up and down. And I put them sideways as like a little shelf on top and put hooks underneath there. And now my husband and I always know where our stuff is. We yes. come in, we hang, like he has a backpack. I have my school bag, my purse, my coat, all of that kind of stuff, the keys. Mm-hmm. So not only can I always find my keys, but I can always find his keys too. So putting that up was, and I would have never done that. That hallway mm-hmm. was just a hallway.
Yeah.
Like I would have never thought of that myself. And so I think that just having permission to use my house in a way that works for us at this point in our lives is definitely a game changer and helped a lot.
Well, I love that. And you said your house is over 100 years old. So
yes.
your house was built in 1900-ish. 1900-ish.
Okay. Yeah.
1900-ish, people didn't have cars.
Yeah.
I mean, right. like, let's exactly. go back. Right?
Exactly.
And where do you live in the country?
Kansas City.
Okay. So Midwest. Kansas City, 1900s, mm-hmm. wherever you're living, life was, there were no TVs. Radio was being invented. Like right. really think about what that house, when that house was built and the people that would have lived in that house bear no resemblance to us today. And even the houses in the 80s, like my house was built in 1986, even life in the 80s versus today, radically different. But also, I often say that most of the houses that have been built since the 60s were developed by white male architects.
True.
Who did not stay home with their children. So they didn't understand how the house was functioning, even though they were designing and building the house. So the fact that we, you know, function in our house the way we think it was built to be, well, who's building it? Until women start designing houses that are built for growing and developing families, the house is never going to be designed the way we actually use it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I took that very unfunctional front hall closet and now I keep mm-hmm. dog food and recycling yes. and stuff yes. in there. And it just works so much better.
Yeah, because it's a great storage space on the first yes. floor, right where you have everything, right? Yes, front hall closets, definitely use them for multiple things. And when our kids were younger, I would make our front hall closet function differently in all three seasons that we have. Like when it was winter and we needed coats, they were in there. But when it was the summer, it was all the pool towels and the stuff. And I put the winter coats somewhere else so we could have that prime real estate.
Yes. And yeah. Us. And yeah, definitely. I've heard you say that before. And that's what inspired mm-hmm. me. It's like, oh, okay. I could actually change what's in the space as the seasons change. Again, that thought never crossed my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have a garage, so we don't keep our swimsuits in our garage, but I remember you talking about that. And it's like, okay, this is just outside the box thinking, which my brain just doesn't do that. And so that has been really helpful for me to translate what you have said in your home. And now I can use that not only in my home, but in my classroom at school as well. So
just thinking
about things differently.
So you teach music. What grades do you teach for music?
Kindergarten through fifth grade.
Okay. What are some things you've done in your classroom?
So first of all, I had to figure out where to put things. Mm-hmm. And then I just constantly tell myself, if I put it away, I will know where it is. So as you can imagine, I'm a very creative person.
Yeah.
And so I will pull out a manipulative to use with the kids. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to need it tomorrow. So I'll leave it out for my first graders tomorrow. But then the problem is that the things I use with my second graders get piled on top and piled and piled and piled. Mm-hmm. So I've started just talking to myself every day at the end of the day. If I put it away, I will know where it is. If I put it away, I will know where it is. So I've started just cleaning up my room every night at the end of the day. And as a matter of fact, I even gave a session at Kansas Music Educators Association conference last February entitled Organizational Strategies for the Unorganized Elementary Music Teacher.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I love it so much.
And I took some videos. I went into school one Sunday and I took some videos of me working on my classroom. And honestly, I didn't get done with everything. And it was so funny because a couple of the people talked to me at the end and they said, I just knew you were going to finish it. And then when you didn't finish your project and you just left to go have coffee with your friend, I was like, kind of disappointed, but then I realized that's real life. And I'm like, yes, because as a teacher, there is always more you can do. And so it's like, you know what? I put a time limit. I was going to organize for this amount of time. We were going to see what I could get done in 5 hours on a Sunday. And then whatever didn't get done, just put on the list for the next time.
Wow, so. 5 hours. Yeah. And it wasn't like you said, 15 minutes, five. That's a lot of time.
I spent a lot of time because there were cabinets in that classroom that I hadn't been in for years.
So you did the 100-day program in your classroom.
In my
every
classroom.
Cabinet, every drawer, every, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it's so interesting that you say you put it back so you know where it will be. The first time that I observed that in action was at the post office. So anyone can go to any post office anywhere in the United States and you will see what I mean. So you go up to the post office and I'm always analyzing how do we get more productivity out of everything. I'm just one of those weird people. And so I was going up to the post office and I had to get stamps and the person in front of me was getting stamps. So, and they didn't want just the regular American flag. They wanted specialty stamps. So the postal service worker got out the book and opened it up and the person flipped through and they picked out what stamps they wanted. And then she put the book away and then did the whole transaction, stapled the receipt, put the stapler away, put everything away. The counter was completely cleared off. And then I come up and I want the exact thing that the person before me wanted.
Right.
And I thought, you know, I would just leave the stamp book on the counter and all these things. I mean, you're going to pick up your transaction time if you do that. And I thought, yes, but they don't know that I want stamps. What if I'm bringing up a big package that has to go on there? Or I want, you know, a passport or an international whatever. And the fact that they were actually putting it away each time maybe doesn't make them more productive, but allows them to be available for the next customer. And they probably, well, I know they do. I mean, the post office is very efficient. Know that if you want, when you say what transaction you want, they know exactly what to pull out and what to put away. What to pull out, what to put away. And I thought, well, you know what? If the Postal Service, which is older than, I mean, it's one of the oldest things we have in the United States, is taking the time to put even the stapler back after every single transaction, there must be a reason for it. And so that's when I started to say, you know, who are you to think that you can leave the coffee cup out or the this out? And I started putting everything away completely, like I watched there. And it seems like it wouldn't work. It seems like it would cost you more time to put everything away, but actually it's less because when you go to do whatever the next thing is, you just go to where you would find that put away instead of looking around for where it is where you left it out last. So I've observed that in reality as well.
Yeah, yeah, it's very powerful and it seems really silly, but it's like if you're an unorganized person, you actually don't have a place to put it away.
Yeah, that's true.
So once you've figured out where to put it away, then it's just training yourself. Now I put it away. Yeah.
And especially like, you know, when you're doing it in a space that I haven't showed you how to organize, like you're in your classroom.
Right.
The question I always ask myself is, okay, well, if it was put away, where would I look for it? And then that becomes the place where I would put it away.
Yes. Yeah. That's very helpful.
Yeah. Okay, so along this journey of getting organized over multiple years, has anything unexpected happened along the way?
Oh my goodness, we've had so many things. I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer in August of 2014. My husband had major health crisis a year later where he was in the hospital for 10 days. My mom has had health problems along the way. Recently, my grandson was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. This past year, two of my best friends have gotten married, and I've been honor attendant in their weddings.
Oh, my goodness. How fun is that?
Yes, I was the teacher of the year for my school district.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Which then meant that I got to write essays and speeches and philosophies of education and a platform and go to conferences. We've been working on our house because we might sell it and move in with my mom. My sister-in-law passed away and we've been settling her estate. Mm-hmm. My husband is the administrator of that estate. I mean, yeah.
And of course, people are going to want to know, your cancer is in remission, is gone? Okay.
Yes.
People are like, surely we want to know about Jennifer.
5 years and I have not had any recurrence whatsoever. So I'm very, very grateful. Yes. Good. December 1st was my anniversary of 5 years cancer free.
Wow. Congratulations. What a blessing. Which just goes to show that, you know, there are no perfect years. There is no perfect time. You know, life just happens, the good and the bad.
Just keeps going. Keeps going.
So has anything happened on this organizing journey that you did not expect to happen? Like, that was good? Like being organized helped you through that time?
Absolutely. Oh, for sure. So I think I just mentioned that recently my sister-in-law passed away in September. Mm-hmm. And during her illness, she was in the hospital for 3 weeks before that. And my husband and I are the ones that are in town. And so we were going to visit her every day, you know, for the 21 days that she was in the hospital. And then she passed away, and we were able to host out-of-town family to stay in our home, provide meals for the large extended family. And I would have never thought that I could host out-of-town guests with just a few hours' notice. Mm-hmm. All I had to do was run the vacuum, wipe down the bathrooms, and we were good to go. I would have never thought that I would be ready to host 14 people in my home without days of cleaning and stashing and shoving things here and there. And I just felt really good about myself and my home and the fact that I could offer a comfortable place for my family to come and gather and celebrate our beloved sister.
That's so nice that you not only were ready, like, I think that's it, that you were ready.
Yes.
That you were able to just be available in what capacity you needed to be. And then to be able to be present with the family and celebrate her life versus worrying or stressing or wishing or having to have an expense of having to provide, you know, resources somewhere else because you weren't able to use your home or any of those things. Like you were ready.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm not as hard on myself, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm more realistic about what can happen. I put rest on my calendar on my to-do list so that when I'm resting, I'm like, no, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm resting. Obviously I rested because I had to, but when I was resting, I was feeling bad about myself and letting my to-do list run through my head constantly. Mm-hmm. And now, like over Thanksgiving break, I was like, oh, I should get up and do something. And I said, no, rest is on your to-do list. You're doing what you're supposed to do. And that just feels really good. So that is another thing. I mean, who would have thought that would have come out of getting my home organized and listening to a guru like you? But I really do appreciate that gift of just a little bit of peace and serenity.
Yeah. What, besides peace, what else do you have more of now?
I have more ability to predict what will happen next in my life.
Mm. That's interesting. No one has said that yet.
Yeah. You know, the way that you kind of look ahead at your week and ahead at your month and ahead at your trimester, it's like, okay, well, there really are some things that a lot of unexpected things happen in life, but there really are some things that I can anticipate happening. Yeah. So when I predict that, then I can also, that gives me more ability to plan, which then gives me less stress. I'm also learning how to predict my own energy level. So in the past, it would be that like, okay, Thursday's concert night. So of course on Friday, I can go and do a rehearsal at church and I can do go shopping with my best friend Saturday morning. It's like, no, Jennifer, you can't.
Yes.
After your concert, you have to rest. You have to go sit in your Epsom salt bath.
Yes. Yes. You know? All the Epsom salts.
Yes. And so that is so helpful to look at my calendar and say to myself, okay, day before concert, I can't do anything. Day after concert, I can't do anything. You've got to, you know, be more aware of your energy, Jennifer, because in the past, I would think that I could do all of the things and then I wouldn't do them. And then I would be feeling bad about myself. And so now I'm able to predict that and feel good that I am accomplishing the most important things and letting go of the less.
Yeah, I love that. Have you done the the Power of When survey. So you know that if you're a morning, afternoon, evening, or dolphin, you know that quiz?
Yeah, I remember. I don't remember actually doing the quiz.
Okay.
But yeah, I think that I'm the one that you are, because I don't wake up super early.
The bear. Most of us are bears.
Yeah, that's what I am. But I need to go to bed. I need sleep. Like, if I could get 8 hours a night, I would.
Bears need 8 hours, 7 to 9 hours. Yes. So the book is called The Power of When. There is a podcast episode about it, and it talks about your chronotype. So it talks about when each chronotype gets energy. So lions are morning people. They naturally wake up at like 6 a.m. They can't sleep in, but they usually get tired around like 1 or 2 in the afternoon, and they for sure are home at 8 o'clock at night. Like, it's hard for them to go out and socialize at night. Bears are the majority of the population, which Jennifer and I are, where pretty much the United States world is set up for a bear. We work 9 to 5. We like to eat breakfast at 9 and lunch at 12 and dinner between 5 and 6. And, you know, we have some energy in the evening, but we're not going to be out till like 2 a.m. And so our energy, the United States system, is pretty much set up for a bear. And then there are wolves. My son is a wolf. And so they typically get their energy after the sun goes down. And they have their biggest meal at like 8 or 9 o'clock at night, 7 to 9 o'clock at night. And they get their energy when the sun goes down, and then they're up till 2, 3, 4 in the morning. They're extremely creative. And then there are dolphins, and dolphins really never sleep. So they're insomniacs, and they're very intuitive and very feeling, highly intellectual. But a dolphin's brain half sleeps and the other half is awake. Like, a dolphin is never fully asleep, and these people are the smallest subset of the population, but they never feel fully rested either. So I was just wondering, with your, you know, as you were talking about your different energy level, I am also looking at all of those things: how foods make me feel, different times of the month, what I have on my calendar, you know, what my energy level is according to my chronotype, in preparation for traveling for the book tour, which is all I can think about now.
Yeah.
How do I stay, you know, at peak performance, and how many cities can I go to? How many days can I be away from home before I'm like, that's it. Like, I have to just reboot at home in an Epsom salt bath and Netflix in bed, and like, then rejuvenate again. So I think it's a skill.
Yeah. And the problem with, you know, high energy people like us is that we tend to just push until we actually get sick.
Yeah.
Like, no, why don't we stop before we get sick, so then we can keep going? And so that is
strong headed.
Yes. Yeah. The people who want to do quote all the things.
Right? Yes. I will often get to Sunday afternoon and be like, I'm so tired. And Greg's like, take a nap. I'm like, okay. I'm like, why do I keep getting tired? He goes, 'cause you went hard for 6 days in a row.
Right.
So
you need to rest.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I need to just build Sunday in as rest. But actually, I think I'm going to do it as Saturday. So I think in 2020, Saturday is going to be self-care and Greg and rest, because I really like, mentally on Sunday, I'm ready to plan my week. And so I don't like just laying around and resting all day on Sunday. So I think I'm going to proactively start resting on Saturday, so that mentally I'm ready to plan on Sunday.
One thing that I've done, and I can't make it happen every single month, but one thing that I really try to do is I try to get 2 days a month where I get to stay home for the entire day.
Yes.
And I, you know, I have things in my list, in my basket, that I could do that day if I feel like doing it. Mm-hmm. But the whole idea is that I am home in my pajamas doing exactly what I want to do when I want to do it. So I might be being productive, but it's my choice to be productive or to not be productive, because nobody else is expecting anything of me for that entire day. And if I can get that a couple of times a month, I am a much happier person.
I agree. Yeah. Just putzing time, putzing and like,
my mom calls it potting around.
Yes. I love it. Like, I'm going to do a lot of laundry, and then I'm going to eat a snack, and then I'm going to watch a show, and then I might do a little bit of photos, but I could change my mind every half hour. It doesn't matter. Like, at the end of the day, there's no expectation on me.
Right.
I love that.
Exactly. Me too.
So what do you have less of?
Oh, I have less guilt about unfinished projects, hobbies, and ideas. So I have a couple of examples. My husband is this way too. So a couple years ago, he bought a foosball table that he was going to restore. And he bought the stuff online and had it since, and he's been puttering around with it in the basement. And then recently he just decided that he wasn't going to finish it and that it wasn't going to happen. And so he put it on Craigslist. And Saturday morning I was out shopping and he called me and he's like, we don't have a foosball table anymore. And I was like, really? And he said that he had put it on for like $200 and the guy came and he offered him $100. He's like, I'll take it. And I said, yeah. So did you actually get your back what you put into it? He's like, he paused and then he goes, we're going to say, yes, I did. You know what? In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter, because having the table in the basement and him getting to dream about it and think about it, that was fun for him for a period of time. And then it got to be not fun anymore. And it's fine. We don't have to say, oh, remember that one project that we started and we didn't finish. Same thing with me for craft projects. You know, you've talked about you like to do something for a while and then you don't like to do it anymore. Just because you did it for one period of time in your life doesn't mean that you have to do it for the rest of your life. We decided that we were going to train our German Shepherd and we bought this online training program with these special leashes and all of this. Oh my gosh, we are not training this dog. Like, he is just
I bought a program too. I bought a program too, and Hunter is not trained.
No, Cato is not trained. Cato is just Cato. And like every day I was beating myself up. I can't believe I can't figure out how to walk this dog without him pulling me. And I'm like, forget it. This is not happening. I'm not going to feel bad about myself. And I'm putting that dog training kit into the church's white elephant gift exchange.
Somebody else's problem now.
Somebody else can do it. But you know, it's like we change. And just because we think that we might be interested in something, if we've never done it before and we've never tried it, why do we have to, just because we thought at one point that that was going to be something we were interested in, now we're stuck with that for the rest of our life? No, we can let it go and feel fine about it.
Yeah. And as my kids have gotten older, their passions have come and gone, and I have no problem decluttering everything related to that as they've aged. Why do we think once we're 25 and we move into our house or our apartment or our condo, that everything that we pick from that moment forward, everything we want to collect, everything we want to do with our free time, you know, the clothes that we're going to get, that that is going to perpetuate for the next, what, 80 years of our lives? Like, it's not. You can pick again.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that's very freeing. So I have much less guilt. So thank you, Lisa Woodruff.
I love that. So what do you wish that you had known sooner?
So I wish that I would have known sooner that maintenance never ends.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
So I have to take care of my kitchen and my physical body every day. I have to clean my house and do my Sunday basket every week. I have to clean out my car and do larger projects every month. You know, I thought that I could do it once and it would stay done. And now I know if I do the maintenance chores, they lead to peace, serenity, and confidence. And I wish that I had known that sooner.
Very cool. Very cool.
I also have a slash pocket in my Sunday basket with motivating quotes that I read every Sunday.
That is cool.
Yes. And so basically what I just read to you is one of the things, like, maintenance, as long as I do my maintenance chores, they will lead to peace, serenity, and confidence.
And so you created that.
Yeah, I created my slash pocket, and I have done is better than perfect in that slash pocket. And it really helps, because honestly, Lisa, I hate to say this, but I don't like doing my Sunday basket.
That's okay. You could say it as long as you do it.
I don't really like organizing, but I sure do like the results of my Sunday basket. And I sure do the results of my organizing. And so I have to read those quotes every Sunday. Otherwise, I'm not going to want to do it. And I think that's another reason why I and lots of other people will listen to the same podcast that you have put on over and over and over again. Yeah. Because sometimes I'm just not feeling it and I need to borrow your energy.
You may borrow it.
I need to borrow your energy.
You may borrow it.
And I listen, and sometimes I'll listen to them over and over again. And I know I've heard the stories, but it doesn't matter because I need it. I need it. And I think that's why people do it, because we're just, you're helping us. So
yay.
Thank you for that.
Yay. So what is your next step now?
Well, let's see here. I think we are getting ready to sell our 2,200 square foot house and move in with my mother. So she's having some heart problems and she doesn't want to live alone anymore.
No.
And we're going to have to get rid of about 3/4 of our stuff and help mom do the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really glad that we have the tools and the know-how to proceed with this huge project and life-changing event. But also the next steps for me personally, besides just organizing in my house, is thinking about how I'm going to use my unique gifts.
Yes.
So that's another thing that you have really helped me articulate mm-hmm. and come to clarity about, is the whole concept that each of us were put on this planet to do something unique.
Yep.
And, you know, I love how you don't say everyone can start a business and be successful like me. What you mm-hmm. say is everyone can be successful in your unique giftedness.
Gifting. Mm-hmm.
And we need to find it and live in it. And often we're just so stuck in the mundane that we never get to that. And
yes.
So a couple of years ago, I got my training in Reiki energy healing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And that, like, as soon as I got my training, I mean, I had the most powerful Holy Spirit experience knowing that this is what I was supposed to do. And I help people see themselves and heal their past, and they can release stuck or stagnant energy so that they can move forward in their life to their next big thing.
You know, I think I had this. I went to, it's like massage, right?
It is. It's done on a massage table. Your
yes.
feet are on.
Yes.
And we touch you. But again, there's no, typically not oil and things like that.
Yes. I think I had this done. And this was probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago or something. And I just bawled like a baby.
Absolutely. You yeah. were releasing a lot
yes.
of, yes.
Yes. So you're in yes. St. Louis, you said?
I'm in Kansas City.
Oh, Kansas City. Sorry. Okay, Kansas City, you said?
I'm in Kansas City.
I had to come yes. to Kansas City on the book tour and get a little Reiki.
Please do. I would be so honored. I would be so honored to host you here, and absolutely.
But you said earlier when you were talking about how you got into Organize 365 mm-hmm. was through KonMari, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And that you understand the energy of things. Like, that makes yes. so much sense. And then your musical inclination and the harmonies and, like, oh my goodness, I cannot wait to see how you blend all this together into something.
Yes. And it's getting there. It's getting there because my house is mostly organized and my classroom is mostly organized mm-hmm. and my brain is mostly organized. And so now I'm starting to get some space for figuring out the business end of this. I definitely am really good at the energy part of it. And
yeah.
You know, my business is small. It's just word of mouth because I work out of mm-hmm. my home mm-hmm. at this point. But at some point, I will have enough time and space to figure out the business part of it.
Wow. So I love that you said that I help people find what they're uniquely gifted at and go out and do that in the world. And I purposely do not say to start your own business because
right.
I know that it's like 2 or 3% of people are created to be entrepreneurs. I clearly was created to be an entrepreneur.
Right.
For a long time, I tried to even take people who were working for me and figure out what they were uniquely gifted at and have them start their own businesses. And then I realized, oh, 97% of people just want to be employed. Like, that is right. what they want. They really exactly. do want a job.
Exactly.
But I think that when I went to college, so I went to college for early childhood education to open a daycare center. And my father, who did not have a college degree and was a very successful businessman, said to me, you don't have to go to college for business. Like, if you want to start a business, just start a business. So
oh,
that's
yeah.
the mental mindset that I have. Anyone with a business degree, I realize that you have a, like, you need your degree. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that so often we think that we need to have certifications or we need to have qualifications or we need to do what somebody else did in order to achieve that same level of satisfaction in our life. And I think that what we're able to experience at this day and age is the fact that we're allowed to be unique. Like up until 30 years ago, uniqueness was a detriment to you because we needed, you know, a lot of people to work in a factory. We needed a lot of people to do agriculture. We needed a lot of people to be teachers. We needed a lot of people to do a few things in order for the society to live on. But today, we have so much ability to be as unique as we possibly can be in order to draw to us the people that we were uniquely created to impact and change. And we're no longer in the 1980s where, you know, Oprah is reaching all the people and changing everybody all at once. Now right. It is a bunch of different podcasters and preachers and teachers, and all of these different people have smaller flocks of people around them and smaller communities that are making more change in a very specific way. And so right. You're drawn to a specific person in a specific way that they do things. There are so many organizers out there, but for whatever reason, I resonate with the people who are listening to me. I don't need everybody who needs to have their home organized. I just need to take care of the people who are resonating with the message that I'm sharing in the way that I'm sharing it, which is freeing. It's very freeing. Oh, yeah.
And I absolutely love that. And, you know, the same thing could be said for Reiki too, because if you have had Reiki mm-hmm. in the past, if you do come and see me, your experience will be vastly different.
Right.
Because each of us have our niche and have what, you know, we're called to within that area. Mm-hmm. And absolutely. It is amazing to be alive at this time.
Yes.
And to just like what has changed in our lifetime and what is going to continue to change. And it's almost so fast that that's why we need those whole days at home in our pajamas.
Yes. Our brains can't keep up with what's happening around us.
It cannot mm-hmm. keep up.
Yeah. It's very hard.
Yeah.
Okay. So what advice would you give to someone who's just starting out? They're just starting on their getting organized journey. What would you want to say to them?
Oh, I think that I would just encourage them because as they heard you say, I have been here for 9 rounds now and you know, I've been in and out. I even got like 6 months behind on your podcast at one point because I was doing other things with my life.
Oh my goodness.
I know, but then summer came and I got caught up. But you know, there are people that you have had on your podcast who, mm-hmm. you know, do the whole thing within 6 months and their whole life has changed. And I'm just here to encourage those of us that are slower to adopt things. You know, I've been slow to adopt everything. And yet I have been listening almost since the beginning of your podcast and have been slowly plugging away. I agree with you that my mind was making progress, even though I never even officially have finished 100 days. And I never even bought the Sunday basket until you did your BOGO this fall. I had done your Sunday basket workshop Zoom class earlier. So I definitely mm-hmm. was on board with the Sunday basket, but hadn't mm-hmm. bought the box until recently. But even after buying your box, Lisa, I have to say people should buy the box because you are not paying for the box. You are paying mm-hmm. for Lisa's brain. And Lisa's brain is worth so much more than that box. My advice would be to just keeping on. And if you're a slow learner like me, it's okay. It's a lifetime program. Yeah. Also, it's just so much better than what I had even thought that it would be with the Sunday basket. And now that I've actually done it 6 weeks in a row, which also is a record for me, my brain is starting to fully understand now that I've really bought the box and the program. I'm not even very active on the Facebook groups, but still I'm here quietly making my life better. So I know there's other people like me out there that are just plugging away and let's just keeping on. And another piece of advice that I took from you last fall was that I hired a housekeeper.
This is a common theme on Wednesday podcasts.
Now, unfortunately, right after I hired her, my husband lost his overtime, so we have not been able to keep it up. But I want to say for people, even though I only had her for a couple of months, my house has stayed cleaner for this past mm-hmm. year.
There's something about a house cleaner. I don't know what it is, but there is just something about it.
Yep. And so, you know, I hired another one a few weeks ago and it's like, shoot, even if I can only do it every few months, my house literally has stayed cleaner, even though I didn't have her for months and months and months. I was just able to keep up with it myself better, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I just love everything you just said, that this is designed to work for any woman anywhere in the world in any size dwelling. When I created it, I was like, okay, well, what if you're in an apartment in New York? What if you're in a huge farmhouse in Australia? Okay, what if you're in the average American home in the Midwest? Like, will this work for you? And so as we picked everything for the 100-day program, it was, will this work in Florida and California and Ohio and England? Like, yes, okay, then that stays in. That's why there's no kids inside of the 100-day program. Because if you don't have kids, it is super annoying to hear about kids all the time.
Right.
Which I know, I still talk about my kids all the time. But inside of the program, there are no days related to the kids. And eventually we came out with the kids program. So yeah, it's there to support you as you go along, as you learn, as you grow, as you experience different phases of life. And it's not a one and done. That's why it's lifelong, because I'm always adding to it.
Yeah. And I have to say, here we are 1 week before Christmas. And right now my house is a complete disaster, but I am not freaking out.
Yeah,
because I have the confidence that I could get this whole thing company ready in about 2 hours. You know,
That's amazing. That is huge.
That is huge. It's like everywhere I look, there's stuff. But actually, I know that when I just go tackle it, it's going to be less than two. I mean, I could have even cleaned probably, let alone just decluttered. And I had another really big win this week too that I just wanted to share with you. And that was my sister-in-law instant messaged me a few days ago. And she had gotten some genetic testing done on herself, and she carries one of the cancer genes.
Oh.
So she was wondering, she knew that I had gotten my genetic testing done when I had had my cancer. And of course, we're thinking about her daughters, you know.
Right.
And so she asked me if I had gotten this very specific gene tested. And I was able to go to my health binder and look it up immediately. I mean, it took me less than 1 minute. I took a picture of the actual test and I sent it right to her. I mean, in the past, I would have been like, oh yeah, I think I got genetic testing. I wonder where that is. And I would have had to call my doctor, and it would have been this hours long process. Whereas from the time that I read the message until the time I sent it to her, it was less than 5 minutes. And then she had that information.
Wow.
So that was a huge win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just the control and the speed at which you can do things and the ability to choose when you do what you do so that you were able to take that time and give her that answer. And, you know, the quicker you get an answer like that, the better, because your mind is just spinning of all the possibilities and the worst case scenarios. And
So that was that. And again, that made me feel good about myself. It's like, not only was I helping my sister-in-law and my nieces, which is the obliger in me, I want to help other people, but it also just made me feel really good about myself that I had that information and I could find it that quickly.
You feel put together, like, with it.
I do. I feel very put together.
Yeah.
And actually, one more little thing about the obliger, since I just brought that up. One more thing to encourage your listeners about hiring a housekeeper.
Okay. Let's.
If you are an obliger, that's another reason to hire a housekeeper, because you have to get ready for the housekeeper.
Yes, totally. Yeah, I like when other people say that they've hired housekeepers, and like you said, you were using overtime pay for it, and then it went away. I feel like when I mention hiring housekeepers, I appear to be a very privileged little white girl, which I am. But I also know that it is such a game changer, and I know that there were period in time when I cleaned houses for money to send my kids to school, like, and I didn't have my house cleaned, so it really is a game changer. I cannot express enough how much it is a game changer in so many different ways.
It is. And you know, the thing is, we cannot continue at the speed that we're at and take care of all of the things.
Yep.
So we have to make choices. Are we going to clean our house?
Yep.
Or are we going to sing in the church choir? Or are we going to lead the worship band? You know, are we going to babysit the kids in the church nursery? Like, we can't do all of it. And if we're going to, you know, choose one thing and we can afford to pay for another thing, then that's great. And I would have never thought of doing that.
I know, without
your encouragement. So thank you.
Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
It's been so much fun. Thank you, Lisa.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh. I could talk to you guys forever, and I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.